In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And today we continue to look at John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at the Apostle John today, and we're looking at John's Gospel. The scripture says, in the beginning. Well, you know what? That sounds like Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning was the Word. In other words, the Word was pre-existent. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, so John tells us that the Word was God. We know who the Word is, don't we? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things, the heavens and the earth, were made by him. And we're going to look today at Hebrews 1, and the scripture says, God, who at sundry times in the diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So all things were made by him. In him, in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it, the darkness cannot put it out, the darkness cannot conquer it. He is the light that shines in the darkness. Who? The Word. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same John came for a witness, to bear witness to the light. Who is the light? The Word. What's his name? Jesus. That all men through him might believe. He was not the light. John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to the light. John was not the light. Why do you think the evangelist writes John was not the light? Because people were thinking that John was the Messiah. It wasn't so easily down pat, you know. The scriptures were not written at this time. That was the true light, Jesus, who enlightens every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Again, he created the heavens and the earth. This is the second Genesis, Genesis 2. This is not only creation, this is redemption, the redemption of our souls through the blood of Jesus. And the world knew him not. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own Jewish people, and his own received him not. The light, the Word, the one who created all things, was not received by his very own. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What's his name? His name is Jesus. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I know that there's a big controversy about the rock, that Jesus is the rock, and he is, and that Peter is the rock also, on which God builds his church. But you see, people say, no, that's not possible. To become a son of God is greater than being a rock. That means we have the same DNA in our being that Jesus has. He is the Son of God, and we are sons of God who received Jesus. He gave us the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What is his name? His name is Jesus, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God, born of the Spirit. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you want to know what that really says? The Word was made flesh and pitched his tent among us. What does that mean? You remember the Old Testament carried the Ark of the Covenant in the tent. Jesus now pitches his tent among us. It's a reference to the Old Testament. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Only God has glory. He is the Father of glory. He is the Lord of glory, Jesus. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Word, the Light, is full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is greater, preferred before me." That's Jesus. "For he was before me." He pre-existed. "And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace." We who are the sons of God have received from the fullness of Jesus grace for grace. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." That's right. The law condemned us of sin. Grace acquits us by the grace of the blood of Jesus. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son," that's the Word, that's Jesus, "which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him." Oh yes, only Jesus had seen the Father. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed. And he denied it not, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." Let me tell you, my friends, you who want to be in control must learn the 20th verse, the first chapter of John. "I am not the Messiah." I personally have fought with this because my brother is sick, but I cannot save him. I am not the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. John knew who he was and who he wasn't. And they asked John, "What then? Are you Elijah?" Because Elijah was to come back. And he said, "I am not Elijah. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto John, "Who are you, that we might give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say of yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" I tell you, that is the job of the church, to be John the Baptist, to make straight the way of the Lord, to declare his word, and to bring people to Jesus. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah has said." And they which were sent were Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto John, "Why do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them and said, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." So John knows who he is and who he isn't. And that's one of the biggest problems in Christianity. We want to take the place of God. We want to be in control. We want to be God, really. We never would admit that. But when we take the controls, you know, we're just taking the controls because we are control freaks. Jesus is in control. We want to put the control in his hands. Is it difficult? Yes, it's difficult. It's very difficult. But that's one thing we have to learn, that the controls belong to Jesus, not to me. Who's in control of you today? Are you stating everything that's going to happen today? Do you know what everything is going to happen today, I tell you, then your life is not rooted in faith. I have no idea what God's going to do to me and through me. This morning at the Mass, a young man came to me and said, there is a friend of mine who is brain dead, and you believe in miracles. Would you pray with me? So I prayed with him. I didn't know that was going to happen. I was just open to what God was saying. And we're going to pray for him now. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, wake him up. Wake him up, Lord. You can do it because you're God Almighty. Just wake him up, because all things were made through you. And you created this young man. He's 41 and he has two children. Jesus, Son of God, heal him today. Let there be the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He it is who comes after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the Passover Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. The Passover Lamb only saved them from death, but Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, the new Passover, saves us from hell. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, that's the Passover Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. How was he before him? He was the pre-existent. He is the pre-existent Christ. He is the pre-existent Christ. That's who he is. And we're going to look at the 12th chapter of Exodus. And Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out and take a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house or to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to your sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which is the Lord, according to his promise, that you shall keep this service. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. They did it. We see that Jesus is the new Passover. And he says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. The Passover Lamb saves us from sin, for he shed his blood not on the lintels, but upon the cross, out of love for us. Jesus is the Passover Lamb, the new Passover. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, I didn't know him, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I coming baptizing with water. So John was told to go into the Jordan to baptize with water. And John bore record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but the one who sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who is to baptize with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear witness to this, that he is the Son of God. So we see in the first 34 verses of St. John that the apostle, that the cousin of Jesus, the John the Baptist, prepares the way for Jesus, prepares the way. He knows who he is and he knows who he's not. We also know that after John said these things, he was taken into prison. And in prison, he doubted. And he sent two of his disciples to say, Are you he, or should we look for another? And we know what happened. Jesus said, Go tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf hear, lepers are cleansed, and the good news is preached to the poor. Go tell John what you see and hear. Let me just continue with the first disciples. Chapter 1, 35 verse. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples with him, and looking upon Jesus, he walked and said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard John speak, and they followed Jesus. Immediately, they left John, because John was not the Messiah. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What do you seek? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, interpreted teacher or master, where do you live? And he saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he lived, and abode with him that day. For it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I tell you, these two disciples, they realized what time it was when they abode with Jesus, because their lives were changed. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the 10th hour. I'm telling you, God did something to these two people that they remembered when they were converted. I tell you, it happened to me in 1968, the last Sunday in August, when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, it happened to me on the last Sunday of August in 1968. I can pinpoint the place. I was at the Salvatorian Center, and the Lord came upon me with force, with love, and His glory filled me. And I felt the river of God flow through me. Yes, I can tell you when it happened. I can tell you that it happened. And I can tell you who did it. It was all Jesus. It had nothing to do with it. One thing I did do when I was up in the chapel, I said, Lord, you're like everybody else. You leave me. I came here to seek you. And then he told me to rest. And I rested. And as I rested and got up, I saw these wildflowers before the Eucharist, and they were filled with glory. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Do you see these flowers, how much glory they give me? I said, Yes, Lord. He said, How much more glory can you give me? You're a human being. I said, Much, Lord. And with that, I just gave him my life. And with that, I experienced the river of life flowing through me. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, rock, which is interpreted rock. That day following Jesus would be forth in Galilee, found Philip, and said unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, was the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You must also remember, no one ever talks about this, but they would be making fun of Jesus because Mary conceived without a man, and everybody can count up to 9. And I want to tell you, Jesus was made fun of, and Mary was made fun of, but it was by the Holy Spirit that she conceived. People don't talk about that, but it's real. One person called me and says it's wrong that God would spare his mother that terrible experience. I said, I don't think so. They all thought he was illegitimate. But Jesus is the only legitimate one who comes from God, who is God, who has rested in the bosom of God, and who speaks to us the truth, for he is the light that enlightens every man. We have no light but Jesus. He is the light that enlightens every man. He is the Passover lamb. He is the one who shed his blood on the cross so that we would be forgiven for our sins. It is all about Jesus. He created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the pre-existent Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He made all things. The oceans, the mountains, all things were made by the Word. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him, the Word, Jesus, in Him was the life for the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Let me just tell you that. The light that is in you cannot be comprehended or put out by any demonic force. Why? Because you are a child of God, because you gave your life to Jesus, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God, and that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. John came as a witness to bear witness to the light, that all men might believe through him. So what John is, the church is called to be, a witness to the light, that all men would come to believe in Jesus. We do not take for granted that people who come to church have given their life to Jesus. You can't take that for granted. A lot of people come to church, and that's a good thing to do, but they have never met Jesus. They have never experienced Jesus. We must pray for them. We must ask the Lord to touch people, that they would experience Jesus. One woman once came to me after I gave a homily and said, now I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. It took me a long time to understand what you were talking about. I was talking about the Lordship of Jesus. I was talking about Jesus wanted to come into our hearts. I was talking about we had to open our hearts to Him. That's what I was talking about. She says, I understand now. I understand. It takes grace to understand. And what does it say about grace? That grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. The law was given through Moses, but this grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. Are you standing in the truth? Are you standing in Jesus? Are you standing with Jesus? Do you know He is the Paschal Lamb who shed His blood for you and for me? Do you know John was just a witness, the great witness to Jesus? Do you know that you are called to be John, to witness to Jesus and to bring people to Jesus? The two disciples realized it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they were with Jesus. Where He lived. Where did He live? He lived with the Father. I tell you, their lives were changed that very afternoon. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be thou to me according to Yahweh.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh.
Dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death.
When I said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it means that he pitched his tent among us, talking about the tent of meeting of the Old Testament. Now we can behold the Lamb of God. We can behold God in Jesus Christ. We can love him. We can be loved by him because he loves us and shed his blood as the Paschal Lamb for you and for me. I need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. So please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.